To Watch Out for Fireballs, it is a Games Club podcast.
And this week, we are continuing and concluding our discussion of Wasteland 3, which was developed by InXile Entertainment and published by Deep Silver for the PC and consoles in 2020.
Deep Silver, no longer a chess AI, now a publisher.
Yeah. You were close, buddy. You were close.
Yeah. This is our 500th episode. Episode 500, sort of. We have a bunch of other episodes.
Yeah. There's like a little bit short of 800 episodes on the feed.
Yeah. And some of those are bonus episodes, extra episodes and stuff like that. This comes up in comics all the time.
Yes.
Where they're like, I don't know, may as well be Captain America's 500th issue. And it's just totally arbitrary.
Yeah.
And in the grand tradition of our 50th episode, we're doing it on a non-momentous thing.
Oh, our 50th episode was
X-Men Legends 2.
That was our 75th episode.
Oh, 75th, the big 75.
I think our 50th episode was Shadow of the Colossus.
I think you might be wrong. I think we check that out. I'll have to look at that. Mm-hmm. Let's see. 100 is Super Metroid.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
125 is Portal. Sometimes you pick a big game for these.
Sometimes it just doesn't work out. This was at the end of December. It was always going to be something.
Yep. Yeah, it's always going to be the third part of something.
Yeah.
Last episode, we talked about capturing or killing the first of the Patriarch's children, Valor, who is trying to help the Gippers resurrect a Cyber Reagan. I'm sure this is a good game. We covered many of the side quests around Colorado Springs and Denver. And now we're going up onto the second fail child up in the mountains in the north to deal with Victory, the psychopath.
Yeah. We've got a Travis McElroy to bring down.
Joker, jokester is here.
The trickster.
Yeah.
The trickster.
Travis McElroy is trickster.
Yeah. Episode 50 was Castlevania 3, which I feel is a fine episode 50.
Yeah, that's a good one for it. Yeah. Because I felt like Shadow of the Colossus was different than that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Nope.
Literally could not matter less. It doesn't matter in comics. It doesn't matter when we do it. Nobody's ever cared about it. It's such like an insane inside baseball thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People get, in these days and times, people are desperate for a reason to celebrate.
Yeah.
If you can make something momentous in a world where very few things are momentous, you do it.
Yeah. And we're recording this Duck Streams Behind. So that's the only reason to celebrate now. Everything else is a dour affair.
Got to wait for a year. We're heading north. We're heading into Aspen. When we enter the zone, we get a distress call immediately from Riley Woodson. This is a ranger who was captured by Victory's men after the attack on the lake. He's injured and being held captive.
Yes. And you head up to a resort that kind of was just used as a resort and a place for summits by the Patriarch.
Yeah, the 100 families would head up here to like chill.
Yeah. And when we reach the base of this, there's like a ski shop kind of place. We run into Victory's men called the Breathers, because all of them are breathing tanks of psychoactive drugs that Victory is kind of keeping them on So they're out of their minds, and their big mechanical hook is poison.
Yes. Their narrative hook is that they're not bad.
Right.
Which is weird. Like, these are actually good guys. Mm-hmm. They're just victims. Victory has, like, regular psychopaths and then breathers.
Yes.
We have to go through the ski lodge to raise a drawbridge to get across, and there are kind of two paths we can go. One has a lot of combat. The other one is a trap course designed by Victory. He says it will lead to escape. The idea being, you know, his prisoners, if they can get through the, you know, the gauntlet, the Eliminator challenge, they can leave.
Right. And because this is Wasteland 3, you're going to go one way and it's going to empty out into a combat encounter that you can take from an advantageous position if you do this. And this is a bunch of skill checks, but it's also like, do you know how to move your party around, standing on switches and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing too challenging, but would be difficult for a single prisoner to escape.
Right. Yeah.
You eventually get through this. You know, we fight a bunch of breathers and we can take this gondola up. We find the Hundred Families leader here, Knox Hardy, tied to a spit over an open flame, just for who knows how long.
Yeah.
Low and slow.
Took me a while to get here. I did a lot of side quests.
Yeah, I managed a lot of bullshit, man. There was this whole Monster Army thing. They needed some movies.
Yeah.
And they wanted to look at a movie, so I figured you could roast a little bit longer, so it was a good movie.
Knox is tender as fuck.
Yeah, this guy's delicious. He's falling off the bone.
You could eat this guy with a spoon.
Yeah, we got to bring him down to the cannibal jamboree. Uh-huh. Everybody Wing Chun tonight. We help him out. He kind of gives us the lay of the land inside here. One of the things I think kind of doesn't work about this stretch is this guy is the psychopath. You know, this guy's supposed to be on a level that everyone else is, you know, better than. Like, this guy's supposed to be worse, as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of bad shit.
We have.
And we just came from the cannibal jamboree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is a cannibal jamboree.
Yeah.
Like, it is hard for this to really shock me, having all these dead bodies and stuff. It reminds me of Fallout 3, how, like, the raiders immediately go out of the gate with skull decorations.
Yeah.
So when you get to the raider city, it's impossible to escalate.
You got to give yourself a little bit of headroom, I think, in the shocking territory. Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, and we're going to see what Liberty is capable of. That's much scarier than this guy and his gasoline, crazy gas, right?
He's just a shitty Joker.
Yeah.
Like, we had nerd and shitty Joker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this place is all full of dismembered bodies, and Victory is, like, constantly hectoring you over the radio with... Yeah, this is just a really weak section of the game. Like, even his writing is just like, you know, going door to door to shock you kind of stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work. Mechanically, it's fine. These combat encounters are still fun.
Yeah.
But this is the worst of the three kids, I think, in terms of interest.
Yeah. Also, the fact that everything poisons you all the time does make it so you have to go and use a lot of antidotes, and using items in this game is not the best.
There should be a recover all button.
Yes.
Where you just use recovery items in your inventory to give everyone an antidote rather than having everybody do it individually.
Right.
We find Riley. He's in an office. They nailed his feet to the floor. You know, pretty fucked up. That would hurt.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, there are five 100 family hostages, not 500 family hostages, five hostages from the 100 families here. And it would be best to rescue them before taking on Vic.
Yes.
You can obviously choose to care about this or not, but if you're trying to be good, you want to do this.
Yeah, if you want the 100 families to like you, then it would be good to go and go and rescue these folks. So Knox Hardy counted as one, so that's good. This is a little bit of a dirty trick. The first door you run across, somebody in your party says, "Hey, I hear somebody alive in there. Might be a hostage." You try the intercom and talk to this nervous guy, this real Mark Proch guy. Ash, he says, "Hey, I've got a kill switch hooked up to all the hostages. You better not open that door." And there are a lot of options for, you know, telling him he's bluffing and going in anyway.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. It's true.
It's interesting. If you don't do that, I don't think it is true.
Okay.
So it might be a Schrodinger's cat thing, because I didn't do it. I came back later after killing Victory, and there's nobody else in the room with him.
Oh, no, he's got a kill switch for all the other hostages.
Oh, okay. He said he has them in there.
Oh.
Like, he's like, I got people in here.
Yeah.
So maybe that might just be a writing goof.
Maybe. Yes. I don't know. But yeah, you don't want to open this door if you want the hostages to be alive. Yeah.
So we're going to go through a series of hostages. One set of hostages in this guest room, and they're on a saw trap.
Yeah.
They're on pressure plates. If either of them step off, the other one will explode.
Yeah.
Through this. If you have mechanics, you can undo this. I ended up telling them both to step off at the same time.
Oh, God. Did they both blow up?
Yeah.
They present you with a lot of very bad options.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I have mechanics up high enough at this point. This is near the end of the game where things, you start needing to have nines and tens.
Yeah.
For things like mechanics and nerd stuff and everything start being, you know, lockpick. They all start being, you know, maximum. They assume you're going to maximize these.
Yeah. I had kind of maxed out Jody on this because I was using her for deployables an awful lot. And those perks on mechanics are actually really good. So
yeah. I mean, I had plenty of mechanics. I just didn't have it maxed.
Yeah.
There's a woman named Laloka who's being kept in a freezer. And we rescue her. She says, "Hey, don't kill this woman in the wheelchair. I think she can be turned against Victory, the head of the breathers."
Yes. Yeah.
Called the Gift. This is something that started as like a campaign world building thing.
Yeah. You know,
and I just slotted in here.
The
breathers are so somewhere. Weird.
Yeah. she's in this lab. And you can recognize her through her, like, I don't know, dive helmet she's in a painting of Saul's mom, like of the family. So she must be like a sister almost. You know, she's a little girl in the painting. And she's loyal to Victory because Victory is the one who found her here, you know, broken, and woke her up and kind of like nursed her to health. She's the one who makes the gas for the breathers. All of them are in the dream, in a very, you know, susceptible state. And Victory is the one who kind of guides them and, you know, takes advantage of their altered state to make them into violent folks.
Yeah. So if you can convince her, you convince her that Victory probably did it. He's looking out for himself. She goes, "Okay, I'll hand over the hostage." Her hostage she has is a woman named Pazeppi. I love her name's Pazeppi, who's been helping in the lab. Pazeppi, you can get her as your party member. This is a classic video game thing of getting a party member really late.
Yes.
Where like, I'm just like, I'm pretty established at this point, Pazeppi.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you're nice, Pazeppi.
I don't feel like paying to respec you. Pazeppi, I'm sorry. Your skin's green. That's cool. I wonder what that is. She's from previous games, I believe.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But like, I just folded Scotchmo in and my entire party was story people in addition to the two, kind of the two beginning guys that I made. I just told Pazeppi like, "Hey, there's no room." It's just, "I understand." And then she went back to base.
It's very inconsequential. She goes back and hangs out. Cool, all vibe. Cool. Hey, everyone's agreed here. The final hostage is being held in the sauna that is off of the pool room. The pool is full of blood and bodies because it's not just a normal pool. It's a scary pool. And the sauna has a full amount of these lethal or a lethal amount of this breather gas.
Yeah, yeah. They're experimenting on somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, seeing how much they can take. And there's kind of a tough battle. You're coming in from the southeast of the pool. The pool is running from southeast to northwest. And there's cover on each side, and it's enough of a gulf. And if you have range, you can shoot across it. So making your way across one side leaves you open to the other. You kind of have to split your party.
Yeah.
Here in a meaningful way.
Yes.
To get through this.
Yeah. Like only my sniper and my guy with the machine gun was able to reach across it, and they needed to be pretty close. Everybody needed to be pretty close. It's an interesting way to make an arena difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice encounter.
Yeah.
You get him out. No problem. There's a central vault with this very difficult to pick lockpick thing, which I did. Like I had my lockpick was 10, so I got in here. You can also get a worker who swallowed it. You have to make a laxative to make him shit it out.
Yeah, there's another chemistry. You go to the Gift's lab and you can mix up if you find the recipe for it. He does shit himself to death. This is a good game. Please believe
Kojima
me.
Kojima might have words. The who makes games where people shit themselves to death. Oh, I guess he doesn't. He shits himself into Matrimony.
He does, yeah.
Shits himself till death till he parts.
All the way to the chapel.
Yeah, he shit into the chapel. Yeah, what pathos. This unlocks a golden hammer here, which is a key that's going to have a secret room with a prototype of Saul's super hammer.
Yeah.
My character, who I used as my mechanics guy, was also my melee guy. Mm-hmm. Because deployables, you want to be up in the mix. Yeah. Here, and this was a really good weapon. This was his endgame weapon.
Yeah, yeah. This it has a chance to do stun, which is incredibly valuable.
Yeah. All tactical games, turn denial is king.
Yes. So that's all the hostages. We get them, and you can return to Ash and arrest him. He's like, yeah, no, that's fine. And we get the key to the wing where Victory is. And you can also, if you pass a hard-ass check with him, Victory will say, like, Ash will reveal what Victory's plan is, which is to gas all of Colorado Springs.
Yeah. Yeah, which wouldn't be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you go, you have to fight his personal guard first, up a couple of staircases. You know, again, Wasteland 3, good encounter. You know, you're sitting on, you're on the back foot.
Yes. Yeah. It's long, too.
Yeah. And you get to Victory at this point. We get a little, you know, cutout of him talking to us with his skeleton buddy, his ventriloquist skeleton buddy, because he's just that twisted. You know, he's exceedingly twisted.
Exceedingly twisted. He's got a buddy named Clarence, tied up like a scarecrow. He's like, oh, you can tell him, like, yeah, your gas that you're breathing is hurting you. Like, he'll say, like, oh, well, Clarence is fine, and then his head falls off.
Yeah. I killed him. This guy sucks. I don't want this guy alive. I don't trust him.
No.
The nerd guy is harmless enough. But I was like, and this is going to make the patriarch mad, but I already played through the game canonically. So I'm just doing stuff as I feel at this time. This guy's got to go.
Yeah.
Like, he also, Joker annoyed me. Like, I'm groaning at his shit. You know, this entire time. I don't know. This guy's exhausting. Can you imagine having him in a jail?
Oh, like, yeah. That'd be terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I arrested him because, you know, role playing as a good upright ranger, you know. He absolutely would have to go. Telling him that he's sick from the gas is a way to defuse this without violence, though. Not even with somebody else's time would I have this guy in my party.
Yeah, he wants to join, and I also don't get that.
Yeah,
who would take him? Like, I understand they're evil, you know, party members if you're playing an evil playthrough, but this guy is, you know, it's not like an evil character. He's genocidal.
You can make a generic guy who's not going to have the annoying barks that this guy has.
Yeah, I cannot imagine tolerating this. One of the great joys of role-playing games, of CRPGs specifically, is deciding who gets to live and die. Like, I really like the "this person's gotta go" choice. Like, every once in a while that happens. You know, we talk about in Fallout games, like, being an abolitionist. Like, there's slavery. You gotta go. Like, there's no getting around it. You gotta go.
Yeah.
That is, to me, that is satisfying. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's not mechanically advantageous, but I feel good doing it once I realize that the mechanical advantage doesn't matter. Like, it's a second playthrough thing usually.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we go through the patriarch's room, we can find a map with all the burial spots for the patriarch's dead wives. We can call them on this later.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're kind of going through wives like Kleenex here, bud.
Yeah.
You can go dig some of them up, but I didn't find anything incriminating. I diluted their jewelry.
Just for the grave robbingness of it.
Yeah. There's also a paper of a doctor's diagnosis saying that Saul has a progressive case of something called shaking palsy, and also is exhibiting signs of dementia. He will be incapacitated within 2 years of when this was written, and we have no idea when it was.
Yeah. Yep. So he's on limited time.
Yeah.
And we leave. We're called to HQ because one of Angela Death's messengers is here. She'll talk to us. We'll go back. She wants to meet at the Hoon homestead.
She'll meet you wherever you made a choice to save. So I think maybe she'll meet you where you saved the Arapaho. Yeah. Or she will. It will still be the Hoon, the Hoon homestead. But she'll be like, yeah, no, you let these people die. What's up with that?
Yeah. There is kind of a general blaseness to the Angela Death kind of cohort in this. This is the first time I played where I sided against her, and she's really like, well, I wish it could have went different, but okay.
Yeah,
like, she is so nonplussed about the whole thing. The really weird thing about Angela Death's performance is she does not care.
Nope.
Like, the idea here is this is something with really, really high stakes, but other than the patriarch, nobody around here really acts like it.
Yeah.
You know, in their performance. It's kind of weird.
The patriarch puts up with a bunch, too.
Like, yeah. It's if in a game where one of the main themes of it is, you know, compromise in the face of the greater good, somebody just being like, no, don't compromise. It's cool. Don't do it. Yeah. It's just weird. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lack of passion on display in this voice actress. And I, even though I played the second one, I don't remember enough about it to know if this had roots anywhere. The reason why I'm bringing it up now is because it extends to her agent as well.
Yes.
You know, when you get there, she's like, okay, well, we're going to want you to do, you know, to go against them. And I'm like, I haven't decided what I'm going to do. And she goes, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, your choice.
Yeah. They did, you know, we're not especially exercised when I, you know, didn't go along with Ironclad Cordite, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're just like, well, I would have done it different. Mm-hmm. But, you know, bygones be bygones. And it's just weird. Before this happens, you get something I kind of like where before you head out to the homestead, Liberty's army attacks the Scar Collectors and they attack your base.
Yes.
You know, this is a position of power. The coolest thing about this fight to me is it's happening in many places.
Yeah.
Throughout the base. Like, this is the widest swath that a fight is going on. And all your base's defenses and all your people are also fighting back.
Yes. It's a very big spectacle. And it is fun to fight in the middle of.
Yeah. They repeat this trick later. It's fun again. Mm-hmm. Like, I love repurposing your home base.
Yes. I mean, any game with a home base, I want to do this. I mean, fuck, like that's so amazing when it happens in both XCOM games. Yeah, right?
It's a magical thing. Like, you know, or then even like a smaller version of it when Firelink Shrine, when Lawtech fucks it up.
Mm-hmm.
Recontextualizing something that is a place of safety is a cool video game trick.
Love it. So Liberty was trying to send a message saying like, an army is almost ready to attack. And you go and meet Angela, and she's about to propose her plan and the Scar Collectors attack there as well. You know, they followed us, you know, either Angela or us, like we're being harried. You know, it's saying like, stakes are pretty high right now.
Yes. This fight, we have a lot of help. Angela's people are here and Angela's really tough.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a big fight, but we have a big leg up.
Yeah.
I think this is meant to show you that she's serious and tough, even though like she folded like Kleenex at the fight at the end. She lays out what she wants. Listen, overthrow the patriarch. Mm-hmm. I'm mad at you for not freeing Ironclad Cordite. The idea was he was going to help overthrow the patriarch, and then he could east and keep the gangs in Kansas busy.
Yeah. You know,
the patriarch has been making these deals to keep those gangs out. What if they were just fighting Ironclad Cordite?
Yeah. And you can ask her, you can say like, hey, sending Ironclad Cordite out there to continue his reign of terror, how is that any better than what the patriarch did? Throwing Kansas into chaos to keep Colorado safe. And she says, the difference is we aren't paying him to do it. We're just letting it happen.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. She just expected Ironclad Cordite to die.
It's cool to use this guy to kill civilians. It's just not cool to give him a dollar to kill civilians.
Right.
It's weird. You know, it doesn't quite work. Like it's a through line throughout the entire game, but the ending of it doesn't quite work for me, the way it climaxes. So we need to go to the Yuma County Speedway and defeat Liberty's forces, the third fail kid. If we do this, we're going to put the gangs into chaos. We're going to kill Liberty before she can lead a coup on the patriarch.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where your characters start making choices about what you're doing.
Yeah.
You have certain characters who are very tied to helping the patriarch because it's going to save Arizona. Certain characters who are more blasé about that or feel the opposite.
Yes.
About that.
Yeah. Jody was the only person who spoke up about this maybe being a problem. Like Scotchmo and Quan didn't really care.
Yeah, they don't care.
They didn't say anything.
Yeah. You're doing the thing that they like through this.
Yeah.
I think Pazeppi might as well.
If you're
a Pazeppi head, I think Pazeppi also, basically it makes sense. The people who have ties to Arizona.
Yeah.
They're like, we can't let those people die.
Yeah. Jody will even say like, hey, I've got family out there. They're going to starve. And Angela's like, you think I don't?
Yeah. And again, though, why does that make it okay?
Yeah.
Like, why are you willing to throw your family away, weirdo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we turn to the patriarch. The patriarch is very mad at me for not saving his son. And there's a really nice little bit of writing here where I can say, you can lie and say, I couldn't manage it. And he just lists off a bunch of stuff you've managed He's like, you mean to tell me you could do this and you couldn't save this one little shit?
Yeah.
And he's mad, but nothing happens to it.
Right.
And this is where I start confronting him on stuff. You know, I say like, oh, you got a secret prison. You got a bunch of dead wives and stuff like that. And he just, you know, he kind of, to me, for my character, he kind of lays it out. He comes clean. He's like, yeah, I did this. Here's the reason why I did it.
Yeah.
This is the idea.
He gives real PR polished answers on stuff. It's funny because you can confront him with a secret prison, and he'll be like, no, that's just a rumor people are spreading to undermine me. If you went in and, you know, freed Ironclad Corday or killed him, he'll say, hey, the thing I said about not having a secret prison, well, the secret prison I don't have got raided and I lost a valuable political prisoner.
I wonder what happens if you bring Ironclad Cordite back to him. I bet you that's fun. Yeah. Like, well, shit.
Yeah. And I decided not to, you know, not to lie. So, like, yeah, no, I did it. I got down there, got rid of that guy. And he says, all right. He says it's his last warning, but it's like, don't do this 7 more times.
But the interesting thing about this relationship, I think, is that you start off with a lot less power than he has. And then as you've kind of consolidated your power, you're now a peer.
Yes.
You know, he can't necessarily, you're a major power in the area. And I think the game does a good job of kind of building that up gradually with your base, like expanding and getting more people and everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
Got some side quests to do.
Yes.
Here before we head on to the Speedway.
Yeah. God, Yuma County Speedway is such that's cellar door to me.
Yeah. It's a very inspired setting for that kind of thing. Like a Speedway is definitely a thing that exists that I've not seen in a video game setting before.
Yeah. Except like Gran Turismo.
I guess that's true.
So this side quest is called Disappeared. There is a woman named Betsy who shows up at HQ to ask for a favor. She's like, hey, some of my family was sent away to a patriarch work camp. And you can say, oh, so he wants to free them. He's like, no, they deserve it. But we want to know where they are. Just so, you know, it's peace of mind, right?
Yep.
And there's a lead we have, this retired ranger named Frank Pappas. You can recruit, but the rangers fucking, the marshals fucking hate it.
Yeah. You can recruit him.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I think you can. Yeah.
I don't think you can. I don't think he shows up on the list of NPCs. I could be wrong about that. I've been known to be wrong, but I didn't think, Frank Pappas was a guy you could get or recruit him for your base, not recruitment your party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. He can join your party. He's not an NPC. They're a companion, rather. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But he is held up at those shitty apartments. And I just paid him so he can start a new life elsewhere. So he can tell us, you know, like he says, like, yeah, if I tell you where this camp is, then I'm going to die. So I just gave him the money to run off.
Yeah. Give him like $200.
Yeah.
His main thing was dropping people off near a cave. And he handed him over to this planesganger who was tattooed. We go to those caves and we find a former godfisher and his partner. This is like a Romeo and Juliet thing.
Yeah.
Almost. There was never a work camp. This is part of the patriarch's deal, which we already knew happened with the godfishers. They stopped attacking Colorado. He's giving them his prisoners for kites.
Yes. Reminder to have their limbs removed, to be skinned alive and to be flown up in the air as kites during thunderstorms.
Yeah. Into the sky.
Yeah.
Consequently, this guy had to go. I do not suffer the godfishers. So this guy died.
I didn't kill him. He says, I just want to move on. Really seems to, go to be over it. He was a go-between, not the actual person who did it. But when you try to leave, Betsy shows up and she's like, yeah, no, we knew our family members were dead. We just needed you to lead us to where where the killers were. And I say, hey, you know what? You outnumber them. You're going to kill them. This is your fight, not ours. I'm not going to fight people from the town.
Pulling an Angela death. It's not my. If they get killed, as long as I didn't make it happen.
I'm going to swing my arms.
I'm going to bite this pie like this. There is Miss Wong from that apartment calls and demands the Rangers come deal with a noise complaint coming from the abandoned casino downtown.
Yeah,
And it's full of partying teens.
This is if you took out Far and Brigo.
I did this the first time. I played through the game. I didn't do it this time when I sided with the gangsters.
Yeah. But like always happens, when a place empties out, it fills up with shitty teens who want to fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's true.
Why'd you say that? What's the name? Radio guy. It's true.
It's true. It's swinging. It's the boys.
Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey.
Now you know the rest of the fucking.
Yeah. So you go, and this place is full of very cool, very aggressive teens.
Yeah.
And they won't leave. So I decide to make the party shitty. You can also decide to join the party. But I tamper with the disco bot to make him play terrible music. And then like the lead teen and his girlfriend are here. You can, hit on the girl, creepy. And then this starts a fight where, like exes are brought up and they argue so hard that it kills the vibe and everybody leaves.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of the Bloodlines quest where you go into Ash's club.
Yeah.
And like, just be a menace, turn into a bad scene. Upstairs, there's kids playing Rangers and Robots, which is the D&D equivalent in this, and you can invite them to come to your mess hall to play instead.
Yeah. You can join in on this, and it's the, you walk through the plot of Wasteland 1.
Yeah, which is cute. Mm-hmm. Like when that kind of thing happens. Cute.
Yeah. There's a quest called Sister's Keeper. There are these two women who call for, send out a distress call. Kim and Yoon Hye. They're sisters and they need our help at this abandoned town. And you go, and these really high-tech mercenaries have them pinned down inside of the ruins of a house.
Yeah. This didn't trigger for me.
Oh, okay.
This might be a reputational thing.
Okay.
For this. Cause yeah, I didn't hear from these two people.
Mm-hmm. No. I spoke to them and, we get a radio transmission from one of the 100 families leaders, a guy named Moss Kogan, saying like, hey, you killed my mercenaries. I sent them there to collect on a debt that they skipped out on. Yeah. And you talk to them. You find out that Yoon borrowed money from Kogan. And Kim tries to play it off like it was altruistic. Like, oh, we just wanted to set up a Catholic parish. There wasn't one in the town. But Yoon steps in and says, comes clean. Like, no, I took it. I pissed it away. I gambled it. You know? Mm-hmm. And I believe that murdering them is excessive, but
it also
wouldn't
collect on the debt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
not going to, make you whole.
Yeah. Yeah. It's silly.
Yeah. As I was like, all right, well, I can just cover their debts. What could it be? It's $10,000. Even with as much money as you get in this game, 10,000 is quite a bit. That could be a lot of things for you. But you can use Kiss Ass if it's high enough to negotiate them down to scheduled payments. And it gets you a faction boost. Yeah.
Yeah. I did do War of the Worlds. HQ radios and says, hey, there's a distress message coming from somebody who's claiming to deal with Martians at the old Tellurium mine. Mm-hmm. And this is a miner. He's an old windbag. He's coughing all the time. He's got this toxicity from this mineral. And he says, no, it's Martian robots that have taken over. My beloved Trudy is inside. You got to save Trudy. And you're led to believe this is a person.
Yeah.
Inside, there's a robot named Nullstack. Ask us to help defeat robots who stop the flow of tellurium. Yeah. And he is a robot who believes in this religion, the Great Reboot.
Yes.
There's a big Scorpatron. In the middle. And this is a set piece battle where you have a console that can fire a gun at the closest robot.
Yep.
Through this. As a thing, all the robots had to go for me. Like, they're just, I don't know, fuck these guys. The story here is one of them, they're stopping the tellurium flow. Another one were scavenger bots.
Yeah.
Through this. So it's like, this didn't feel like my business at all. Like, robots go at it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I saw it. So I wasn't really paying attention to what the windback guy said, like apparently he said, like, there's a guy named Nullstack. There's a robot named Nullstack who's going to try and trick you. But I sided with him. None of them were synths. Only one of them was a synth and I killed the guy. Yeah. You go back to the miner. He says, ah, damn it. I was trying to get you to kill Nullstack, so I could get out of this deal with him.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And you get the collar. Trudy's a dog.
Yes.
Trudy died.
Yes.
So kind of a nothing quest. Mm-hmm. Something I think is kind of funnier is you get this distress call from someone saying they're one of Santa's elves and you have to go to Santa's workshop. This is a bowling alley up near on the way to Aspen. And you go in and there's a Santa And there's people in elf costumes being overseen by robots with like evil Santa names.
Yes.
So there's a Krampus robot. There's I can't remember the name of the other evil
Santas. Yeah.
There's a surprising number of evil Santas, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah. Something in a less than good Santa.
Yeah.
And I like this Santa performance. I think this is funny.
It's incredibly funny. He really does seem to believe that he's Santa. He is, you know, he's like, oh, ho, ho, holy shit. What are you guys doing here?
Holy fuck. What are you doing? And to get to talk to him, you have to talk to Sugar Home Mary, the woman who called, and say there are fresh baking cookies and he has to go get them.
Uh-huh.
Like he's under a geese.
Yeah.
To go do this.
Yeah.
So this is a drug slave labor camp. He's making the elves create a drug called brain candy.
Yes. Right?
Which I can only assume is a reference to the movie.
I can't imagine it's not. Yeah.
So we have to find some proof kind of to figure this out and get kind of, get the information to free the elves.
Yes.
And get the recipe here.
Yeah. You can go in and you can see that the elves are, being kept hostage with, exploding collars.
Yes.
It's called the Naughty List Protocol by hacking that. Sugar Plum Mary, she directs you out back saying like, yeah, the information that you need to, you know, to prove to this guy that you know what's up. This is not actually Santa is back there.
I'm pretty sure that's not Santa and I can prove it. Yeah. Just a little bit more evidence I can prove this man isn't Santa.
Yeah. You fight some toads and you get into the outbuildings. They're full of piles of dead elves. Some of them are hanging dead and frozen from light poles, but you do find the recipe for brain candy.
Yes. After you do this, you go back inside. You can confront Santa with it. If you have a hard ass check, if you've been leveling hard ass, you can get him to run. Mm-hmm. I did not have hard ass enough, so I went into the computer room, mm-hmm. Which he tells you not to do. It makes it sound like it's going to be
it's going to start a combat. Yeah,
but it doesn't. You go into the computer room, you shut off the protocol, and then you and the elves fight the robots and Santa.
You lead a revolution.
you lead a workers' revolution against them. They're not very useful in it, and the robots are tough. But you start from a really defensible position. You start in the elves' room.
Yeah,
there. So you have a really good choke point.
Yes. The way that I resolved this, you know, because Santa ran away, terribly evil options. You can replace Santa and, press them into service, making the drugs to send them to Ranger HQ for use and for sale, or you can send them on their way, or you can just say like, oh yeah, this stuff's pretty lucrative. You should probably just make it for yourselves and sell it.
Yeah.
I just told them you're free to go.
The drug is apparently a good drug, but like all games of this type, I tend to forget.
Yeah.
About drugs. I try not to, but drugs are like something I tend to forget.
Yes.
In this. You get a meme weapon here. You get the Red Ryder BB gun. This is a Fallout and Wasteland kind of meme weapon that's always better than it looks.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Red Ryder BB gun from Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, this is specifically the Christmas one. Having a BB gun is always I think in Fallout 2, there's one. It does 20 damage regardless.
Oh, yeah.
Like it doesn't roll, I think, is the gimmick for it in Fallout. Mm-hmm. They always have like kind of a weird mechanical quirk.
Yes.
To them. While we're up there, we also get these strange number station transmissions. They're coming from the Department of Energy near Aspen. And if we go there and we go through a trap dungeon here full of robots and get another big mecha scorpion at the end. We go into this laboratory at the end with a gigantic mecha scorpion.
Yeah. Really tough. These things they can engage you at every range. So like up close, they have a flamethrower and like a swipe. And then their tail is like a Gatling gun that gets a ton of hits in on whoever he decides to attack.
Yeah.
Precision shot is your friend with any of these robots in order to disable them. Like you want to shoot at the tail in order to defang this guy.
If you have high enough nerd stuff, you can also hack robots. Yeah. 10 nerd stuff will hack any robot. Mm-hmm. And deployables are the other thing. Like when you fight these in the Overland, there's random encounters you can get with a Mecha Scorpion, which is like the death claw of the series. Deployables take care of it. It will fight the nearest robot to it.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing out a cheap turret will blank all their turns.
Yes.
Through this. So they're more intimidating. This fight is harder than the ones in the Overland because it's in a smaller area. you can't get quite as much range. But if you're in the world map, your sniper can just take this guy out while he kills turrets.
Yeah.
No problem.
Mm-hmm. The leader of this group is a synth named Do Tensei. I don't know what that means.
Reference to something.
She thought that she had outrun the murderous rangers. She came here from Arizona or California is where that was. She is the daughter wife of Cochise, the Haywire AI from the first game.
Yep. The signal was was a call to gather synths.
Yes.
She's creating a synth sanctuary. Mm-hmm. She wants to rebuild the Cochise AI so she can rule again at this point. She's got to go. Cochise AI is no good.
Yeah.
She has a lot of robots with her. She has disco bots as well. She has her own party bot through here. And this is, again, a much tougher fight because it's smaller.
Yes.
In this area.
Yeah. After this, you find some tapes that imply that this is the lab where a bunch of synth research was being done, specifically in order to create a new kind of human to inhabit other worlds after Earth is left uninhabitable.
Yeah. You get a new radiation shield for your Kodiak. You start getting ones that are Morningstar compatible only.
Yeah.
For this. It'd be interesting if there were mutually exclusive Kodiak upgrades.
Oh, you can't use this if you don't have. Yeah.
Or one that did something and one that did something else. You'd have different ways to upgrade your car.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a new cannon for your Kodiak. This game has tons of weapons and side weapons for your tank, even though you don't get a lot of opportunities to use it.
Yeah.
They're all good. Mm-hmm. There's none of them that aren't super fucking overpowered.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. I ended up sticking with the one that's an area effect explosion, and then caltrops was what I did for these.
Yeah. So my secondary weapon was the goat cannon. I assure you, this is a good game. That can lob a goat anywhere on the combat map, and it lands and it does an area effect stun. Was what I had. And then I think I ended up, cause I went down to, it's not really attached to a quest, but you can go to the, Piasso Clown Museum, and fight the guy there. One of your rewards, for destroying their ice cream truck, is, a clown head Gatling gun. That is actually really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that cause it's not a dungeon. Or it's not a quest. You can just go there and fight the Piassos if you want to.
Yes.
Yeah. I did not keep Lucia with me.
Okay.
In this playthrough, so I did not do Frontier Justice this time. I did it the first time, but this time I was going for different party members.
Yeah.
Tell me about Frontier Justice.
Yeah. Remember Lucia? She is the young 100 Families member whose family was killed when the boy who loved her betrayed the town. found her family members in the big burning pit of bodies. She decided to swear revenge on the Dorseys. And you can find them. Like, you can find, the last of the Dorsey leadership, the ones that are not currently, under the service of Liberty, at a place called the Snowed In Resort. That's behind some level 3 radiation, so you either need to do it after you get the chassis upgrade, or you have to do it when you get the radiation shield. But you to use the radiation shield, you can't have the speed boost, and that is intolerable.
Irritating.
Yeah. This is tough. It's a multi-area dungeon going through this resort. There's one massive shootout in a huge courtyard with a huge sniper nest. Overlooking everything. Lots of turrets. Turrets are upgraded to laser and pulse turrets as well.
Yeah.
These things fire several shots and can just ace a party member, just down them from full health.
You cannot have a character exposed to turrets.
No.
Early on, this game is very much saying you have to end in cover. Now it is mandatory.
Yes. Yeah. But you can drive the Kodiak up through as long as you don't have party members in the way. You run into the last remaining leader of the Dorseys, Nellius Dorsey, the family patriarch. He's in the cabin in the back. He's resigned to his fate. He's well-spoken, unlike the other Dorseys that we've met, who are all, deliverance hick parody kind of guys. It's I'm not like my family members. And he basically tells his story. He says, yeah, the patriarch wanted to wipe out the Dorseys because we were pushing really hard for old-fashioned American-style elections. And the patriarch, you can bring this up. And he says, oh, it's just not time yet. The wasteland is too, you know, is too harsh. Colorado's in too precarious of a position, blah, blah, blah. So the Dorseys, not good guys, but were pushing for something that would have been good.
One right? Dorsey was.
Yeah. Like
the rest of them are all just hillbilly maniacs.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I did this the first time feeling really unsatisfied. It'd be like if you went to the McPoyles and the patriarch, rather than being Guillermo del Toro, was the lawyer. And like, there's just no causality between these things.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They all were just like rocket happy hillbillies.
Yeah.
It was real silly. And I was like, oh, now you want pathos from this? Get fucked. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, this is, I mentioned this in the first episode. I like this game a lot, mechanically. Uh-huh. One of the things thematically and narratively is I think that it overdoes its theme. The idea that, like, you know, again, what sacrifices will you make for the greater good in the short term is they want you to think about that a lot. But then they just keep doing articulations on it.
Yeah.
Without exploring kind of other angles of it or other themes that would be kind of like constellationally attached.
Yeah. To this.
It really hammers this one point so much that it gets fatiguing.
Yes.
And it also has to stretch reality to hammer this point further.
Yeah.
You know, with these situations where it can feel like all it's doing is saying, hey, this thing you thought was bad, it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, this thing you thought was good, it's bad. And it just feels like variations of that
at a certain point. Yeah. It gets tiresome. And like there's a very specific hand wave here where he says, like, yeah, no, like our family used to be like me. But we were pushed out onto the plains. And, you know, this is a thing that's been going on for like a generation or two. Like everybody went feral. Like life out there just turned them into what you saw, which beguars belief.
Yeah. Yeah. There are people. Other things in this game rely on there being stakes of people in the plains not doing that.
Yeah.
Like the game leverages the plains as a place of a semblance of civilization or at least like humanity.
Yeah.
You know, those people didn't turn into feral deliverance comedy relief monsters.
Nope.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Consequently, they allied with Liberty. This is why they did their big attack. They intercepted us to stop the patriarch from getting aid down there. But the family went too hard. They went for this decapitation strike, attack the city, and this backfired on them.
Yeah. He says something important, which is that Lucia's father is the one who led the campaign to wipe out the Dorseys. Like, Lucia's father was the lieutenant who ended up pushing them out onto the plains, right?
Yes.
And Lucia wants to kill him, but you can stop her from doing it, or you can let her. I stopped her, saying, he needs to get a trial, all that. He says, no, but your dad's still alive. He's being held captive by Liberty. And then he shoots himself in the head.
Yeah. If you don't have her with you, he does not show up at Liberty's camp.
Okay.
So this is one of those things.
Yeah.
I never did the provost thing. I had the provost with me and he died.
Oh, yeah.
He died before I could get to this. Kind of weird, right? Because there's a there's a toaster at the Snowed Inn that gives you a coin called the Owl of Minerva. And if the provost is with you, he says something about it. He says there's a cave up in the mountains. You have to keep this guy alive for fucking ever.
Yeah.
To do this. Like, he has to live through the Battle of the Gippers. He has to live through the ski lodge and stuff like that, because this is kind of later game content.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through here. So I've only read about this.
Yeah. I kept him alive. You go up, and when you go into the cave, you find a ring of people who are all dressed just like him. They chant Minerva Medica. Like in the summoning circle, they disappear in a flash of light, taking the provost with them. And it grants all of your party members +1 to perception, which I don't know what that does.
It helps you spot traps.
Gotcha. You also get the mysterious
traps and secret doors.
Okay. You also get the mysterious mask, which gives you +10 perception. Apparently, like I was looking into the provost, he is a recurring character from the second game where he is part of the Illuminati.
Ah. There's so much of there's something interesting about a game that is so in love with its own lore that, and this is on me, this is subjective as hell, but I remember so little of it.
Yeah.
Like it's constantly doing references and I don't, all I can do, it's like when we do something on Abject Suffering where we're like, I'm sure this was a cartoon.
Yeah.
This had a multimedia, this was a comic book tie-in. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be. You run into things while playing this where I'm like, this has to be something.
Yeah.
You know, but it fuck me if I remember. And again, like, I kickstarted Wasteland 2. Mm-hmm. Like, I, you know, I had the collector's edition of that. But yeah, I just didn't find the individual character beats that memorable, but somebody must have. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to have their fans because they're constantly being paraded out.
Yeah.
Like this. We get a real nothing quest after this.
Yeah.
We go to the Nox Bison Ranch in the lowlands because there's a scar collector raid on a bison herder guy.
Yeah.
They're trying to rustle them and turn them into a war beast. So they offer to have you help them. You can refuse and kill them, clear out some toads there, and the ranch leader will give bison meat to the HQ.
Yeah. Maybe that opens up some food in the mess hall. I don't know. I was drowning in noodles.
Yeah. I did not need it. This feels like this should have happened earlier in the game than now.
Yeah. One of my characters had a high enough animal handling feat or whatever to ask for a bison of her own. You want to do this? Holy shit. The miniature bison that you get, the young bison, is a tank.
Yeah.
And there's a fun little joke here. Two of the farm hands are named Daryl. So
I would enjoy that joke if I hadn't seen it so many times in things. Yeah. Like, whenever they just have cute people named Daryl. One of the Fallouts has that too, I think. I think it's in Fallout 2.
Yeah. Daryl's come in pairs. It's the new heart role.
Yeah. It's a Newman or new heart thing.
Mm-hmm.
For all the kids.
Yeah. For all the kids out there who grew up, for all the kids like new me who grew up with Nick at Night.
Has never been higher. And we have to pander to it. So we do the final one here with the trader, the sand in the gas tank. We go to the Yuma County Speedway.
Yes,
we're going. We meet a patriarch. Or go ahead.
We're going after Liberty here.
Yes. When we come in, we meet a patriarch spy named the Mechanic. Waves us into the garage before we get spotted. Gives us a rundown on the gangs and says, "Hey, you know, if it were me, I'd just turn them against each other rather than just going after Liberty directly."
Yes, this is a very good idea. To do this, to try to find a talky way out of this, because I cannot imagine doing the fight with all of these gangs.
The end fight's hard as it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing. Also, you know, it's drawing a line under the flaw in her plan. Like, she just has these disparate gangs that have very different cultures. It's a really tenuous, you know, allyship that she's put together.
Mm-hmm. So you get into the slave pen. If you try and approach the place where Liberty is, like, they'll warn you off, like, they'll shoot you, it'll start the fight. You go to the safe pen and ask how to get in good with the scar collectors here. And they say, "Hey, don't make fun of Steel Trap, our leader. And also do not mention the disappearance/suspected kidnapping of one of Cordite's top men, D Sharp." You know, Ironclad Cordite used to lead the Scar Collectors. They deposed him because of his deal with the Patriarch, and the new person who took over banished D-Sharp. And people liked D-Sharp.
This little slave pen is very funny. It's a fully functional town.
Yeah.
There's a doctor and an merchant there. This is where the slave, you know, because again, I was doing things I didn't do the first time. The synth that I sold out to get... access to my base, my hidden door in my base, is here and is real mad at you. She's like, don't fucking talk to me. I'm like, okay, yeah, sorry.
Shit. Yeah, no. There's a little bit of follow-ups here too, because you can also run into Gary NACL Wolf, run into Gary Table Salt Wolf, and his dudes near the slave pens. You know, they set up base here. He calls us simps, so I kill.
Yeah.
You're not going to call me a simp.
Guy's a jerk.
Yeah. But there are two slaves, so you know how to get at the scar collectors, right? Pick at this wound within their faction. There are two slaves, one named Patsy and one called Not Yet Skinned. And they're like, you gotta pay us a lot of money for this information about how to take out the Piassos and the Godfishers. You ask, like, well, how much? And they say $10, and you say yes.
Yep, no problem. And they tell you a rumor. The Godfisher leader found the Piasso second of command sleeping with his wife and turned him into a kite. Yes. So they have this non-aggression pact. They're not supposed to fight each other, but they are.
Yes.
The Payasos are headquartered in an old fast food joint called Circus BBQ that's now called Meat Clown.
Mm-hmm.
Here. And you get this woman named Risky Brisket, which...
Incredible name.
That's a really appealing... That's a good name for a cat.
Yeah.
makes us eat a clown burger. Yeah. We could craft these before too. I was like, you could craft this, but do you want to? And you can buy it and stuff. This poisoned you.
Yeah.
In the beginning of it. Or you can just start a fight with the clowns.
It's a really bad poison too. It lowers your chance to hit. It's not like a damage over time poison.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely want to cure this.
Yes.
So you say like, after you do this, you don't fight the clowns. They're kind of live and let live. You fight up the mountain because mm-hmm. you're going to try to find proof.
Yeah.
The Cucaracho was skinned.
Yeah, Cucaracho, the guy who slept with slept with the wife of the Godfisher leader.
Yes.
Yeah. These fights are really fucking hard.
It is really hard. A weird thing, demerit, like an irritating thing about this. So these fights were, this is the point in the game. There always is a point in all of these games where I'm like, I'm kind of done.
Yeah.
I would like to be done. So I was like, what if I didn't fight these? What if I stealthed up? Like mm-hmm. I've been putting stealth into my sniper. I can now stand in like a cone of vision for a few seconds.
Yeah.
You know, I can probably sneak my way up here. You mm-hmm. do it. When you get to the kite at the top, it just summons your party in for interaction or whatever. Uh-huh. So you start a fight at the top surrounded by everything. And I'm like, fuck that. God. Like, why couldn't she just bring it down? So then I end up just redoing it and fighting my way up.
Yeah.
But irritating little bit of, classic gameplay, like your characters teleport to where they need to go.
Yeah. Hate that.
Yeah, irritating.
The secret to these encounters is there's always two paths up to the next combat arena. You have to split your party up in order to really have a chance at this. That is an interface tax that I was also like around this point. Just kind of, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't do that. I just took the left path and left the right path alone.
Oh, okay.
They were far enough apart to where they just kind of slept through it. They didn't hear the gunshots.
Oh.
No.
I don't know.
But you eventually get this thing and now you can return to the Payasos and say, hey, check this out. And they'll wipe each other out.
Yes.
Those two gangs, the two minor gangs.
It is really funny in both of these cases. After you've sabotaged the gangs, you walk back into the main area at the Speedway. And then you just see a little cutscene, like in-engine cutscene of these guys doing attacks at each other.
Yeah.
Always, wiping each other out to a man.
Yeah. Whoever starts it, who wins, blows up. For some reason. weird little bit here. You go into the Scar Collector mine here, and this is attached to a USSR space station that crashed.
Yes.
They have a bunch of cyborgs there. You can also free the cyborgs yourself. Did you get the cyborg companion?
No, I didn't.
That only spoke Russian. This guy's nuts. Like, he's pretty powerful.
Okay.
You go unlock him in this thing. You have to have high enough computer or whatever to, like, translate or get into the root menu.
Mm-hmm.
But you can unleash these guys and have them help you.
Okay.
You get some Russian killbots.
Nice.
With you. You also free D Sharp. And she says, hey, the woman who took over the company store, if you kill her, it's going to undermine the Scar Collectors. So do that.
Yeah. So you go do that. It's just a, fight in a cafeteria looking thing. And the Scar Collectors wipe themselves out. I didn't do the final fight with all of them, but I know what it would have been like because you go up to the final gang compound. There are still fights against the Dorseys who are here, kind of like the last of the honor guard. But you do see like dead bodies in the arenas that otherwise would have been full of enemies.
Yes. Yeah. When you get to the end of this, this is a point of no return. The game will warn you.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to Liberty. She's mad that you sabotaged the army, and she's like, I'm glad you got my brothers off the board, but I'm mad that you did this.
Yeah.
Listen, my father's not going to rule the right way. He needs to be an emperor. He needs to be even more hard ass.
Yeah.
We can't have a world of borders and trade alliances. Like, this has to be law of the jungle, basically.
Yeah.
My hard ass was not high in this. Like, kiss ass was my social skill for this.
Okay.
So anyway, I had to fight this fight. And this is a really hard fight. This is way harder than the ending, in part because you cannot ambush. You have to start dialogue when you come in here, and then you have to deal with initiative, which I had not been leveling because I always went first because I always ambush. I always called my shots.
Mm-hmm.
This ended up being the only time in the game I had to reload.
Oh, okay.
And I had to reload in order to survive the first wave. So yeah. I had characters like use drugs and stuff to get damage resistance enough to survive to go outside. And okay. then they were okay. Mm-hmm. But when they're just kind of in the kill box in the middle there, it was really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I just talked. I had hard ass and said like, hey, listen, you're not going to control this army. Right. Like, you know, I've wiped out everybody that you had with you, and anybody else that you bring in, they're going to fucking hate your dad and they're going to hate you. And, you know, she turned herself in saying like, okay, well, I can play the penitent daughter until my dad dies. Right. There'll be a power vacuum in the future. She can just take advantage of it.
Yeah. I'll just be a warlord later.
Yes.
The, so there's a, if you tell me about this quest, because again, this was not something I did with the Wessons.
Yeah. So if you did the Frontier Justice quest with Lucia, you run into her dad, who's being held captive in one of the rooms off of Liberty's chamber, Percival Wesson. You know, he's being held there. We confront him saying like, hey, here's what Nellius said. You know, the Dorseys attacked Colorado Springs as revenge for what you and your men did. And Percival says, okay, yeah, we did. We went to one of their meetings. We didn't want to kill them. We just wanted to stir up chaos to undermine it. But one person died and everybody had to die. Mm-hmm. And you can say like, did the patriarch order you to kill those people? And he says, not exactly. And Lucia isn't in shambles. You know, we have to decide what to do. I say, hey, you should face trial, not exile, not execution. And Lucia agrees with this. She does try to go with Sheriff Daisy to take him back. I need her with me because she's got a lot of gear and stuff. So yeah. I was like, hey, our work isn't done. This'll be fine. Come
with
us.
Way too late to sub in a Pequot or whatever her name is.
Pizzeppi's.
Again, one of the things I think the game overplays its hand, a trial is akin to execution in this.
Yes.
If you remember, trials just mean death by exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not death, but the very likely death by exposure. Yeah. Like, this is a game that's trying to play in shades of gray, but the results of things are never gray.
Yeah.
So it always falls kind of flat to me. Yep. When we head back to Ranger HQ, Angela Death will message us. And she says, are you going to confront Saul or not? And you get to, this is where you choose. Yeah. The first time I did this, I went against Saul. This time I wanted to see what happens if you went with him.
Okay.
Through this. So I was like, sure. All my companions were good. They liked this plan.
Okay.
Just fine. Angela Death goes, well, I suppose that sucks. I guess I'm going to kill you. Like, the least committed voice performance of all time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does the fight happen just at the HQ with Angela Death's men trying to take you out?
You do that, and then you also do the same fight at the end. You just have different people on your side. You come at it from a different angle.
Oh, okay.
So.
I didn't have a fight. I got the good ending, but I almost wish that there was a climactic battle because it was just like a real like non sequitur almost. So I guess, you know, you gather up your people if you go against the patriarch and you haven't done the thing. If you did not get the rangers or the marshals and the, and the 100 families on your side, you have to go without their support and do a big fight against all of the patriarch's men in order to get to him and then, you know, decide what to do with him. If you have the support of everybody to say like, hey, we're going to do a nonviolent transfer of power, they agree to support you.
Yeah, so it's weird that you fell into that. It's something like 0.1% of players have gotten that. It's made specifically to be counterintuitive.
I was just trying
to treat the refugees like shit.
Yeah, I was just trying to keep people happy.
you have to go, like, again, one of the things it's doing, like, you are keeping people happy, but you have to like stop the refugees from being able to come in. You have to stop Mama Carter. Like, you do something that is video game evil. stop people from getting shelter in order to make the 1% happy and the cops. Like, it's doing a subversion where if you want the golden ending, you're making people who would be the villains in any other game happy.
Last episode I explained why I worked against Mama Carter. She was getting people killed and didn't care. Was the thing, right?
Well, now they're just dying in the planes.
Oh, yeah. You know,
they're just not making their way into town. Like, there's not, again, the game does not do a good job with gray outcomes of the actions.
I also, you know, because the possibility of revolt was a possibility, I was like, okay, we're going to take over and then it'll be fine. So it's like deferring letting people in. Call me a lib. I don't know.
it's a little shit lib. It's a little bit guide looky.
I was
I just said that to make you mad.
Okay.
I don't actually believe that. It's weird that you landed on that, because again, it's one of the rarest like achievements. The game specifically sets out to make people not do this. Like, if you look up stuff about the game, people are like, it's very frustrating that you don't get a good ending unless you do these things that nobody wants to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird thing the game is known for. So just a little surprising.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I just, it's the decisions I made. But you just go and you confront the patriarch and say, like, you know, hey man, time to go. The sun's getting real low, buddy. And he's like, what's the meaning of this? And you can just give a signal to the marshals to draw their weapons on him.
Yeah. You can then arrest him, exile him, kill him. You can do either or those thing. You're basically doing like a show trial at this point, if you do this. He says, a show trial is just a step towards tyranny. You're going to do this. And you get your ending slides. Yes. If you do it the other way, so the other two ways I've done it, you get back to HQ and HQ is being attacked by Angela's people in this game and she had converted some of my Rangers. So some of my Rangers were loyal, some of them were not. You fight them in HQ, you kind of go room to room, and then you find a secret tunnel that'll put you up in the middle of town square through this, and you want to get the Kodiak in. They're like, we can't do anything until the Kodiak gets in.
Okay.
We have to do that. So you kind of fight your way through the base, the Kodiak comes up, and you are in front of the history museum with Saul Buchanan behind you and his two like bodyguards.
Okay.
And then Angela Death comes up and goes, well, I guess I got to kill you. Sorry, buddy. And then you fight, but they have a Kodiak, but it's not as good as your Kodiak.
Okay.
Like, it's pretty anticlimactic. The battle versus victory is way harder.
Okay.
Than this. But you just take everybody out at this point. And then you get your ending choices. At this point, after the fight, if you end up going with Angela, it's very similar, except you just come up with Angela from the other side.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you get a choice of what to do with Colorado at the end of this? Like, so if you support the patriarch, it's just like, all right, we get our aid and go back.
Yeah. He says he's good on his aid. So that you don't get a choice of what to do with Colorado. You're not in charge of Colorado at the end.
Okay.
You don't hostile take over it. The ending thing you get, I got all the ending slides for the various places, and it just, it came up and it's like, the patriarch was good as his word. Like, the Arizona Rangers are thriving. Something, something, something.
And everything works like we said it would at the beginning of the game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do it with Angela Death, you can take over. I did that the first time, where you get the chance to either do that or install somebody.
Okay.
At that point, you can do it. My thinking of not staying there is like, I'm an Arizona Ranger. Like, I'm on vacation. Mm-hmm. I don't want to live in the snow zone. This sucks. If you side with Angela Death, you do get the choice.
Okay.
Of putting her in, I think you can put her in charge.
Oh, I don't want to do that.
No.
Her plan sucked.
Yeah. It's not very good. And there's like the planes gangs are still a thing.
Yeah.
Like the thing, my thinking was basically, and again, I think this is kind of a flaw in the writing of the game, but what it's trying to do is it's saying the patriarch was a load-bearing thing.
Yeah.
This compromise he made, this moral compromise he made sucks. Sucks ass. But it's stopping these gangs from coming and killing everybody.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to happen. And the endings, if you look at all the ending slides, they're all on the wiki. Like, it very specifically keeps that stuff. Like, there isn't a happy, happy ending.
Right.
One of these factions is going to be a problem in the future, kind of regardless of how you do it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, even in my ending, it's just like, we have to get ready for a fight.
Yes. Like, there's not, there's a golden ending in that it avoids a fight, but not a golden ending for the future of Colorado or Arizona.
Right. Yeah.
For this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just like the golden ending was like expanding the reach of the Arizona Rangers.
Yes.
Not that they were looking for territory. And we know that only good things happen when you expand your territory.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also something I can't be invested in.
Yeah.
Like it's a weird, you know, little bit. We're getting kind of in end thoughts here, but like, I don't, you know, the Arizona Rangers, it's a cool idea. Fine mm-hmm. with it as a thing. It's not a base I'm managing where I want them to have global power.
Right.
You know, it is weird and fascistic feeling to me to be like, I know what's best for this area as well
mm-hmm.
as a thing. Like in this game, one of the differences between this and Fallout is you're ostensibly, it seems a little bit like you're playing an itinerant do-gooder mm-hmm. who is going around just trying to fix all the problems of the wasteland. But there is an edge to it that is like kind of Brotherhood of Steely.
Yeah.
Of kind of like taking over and making it happen your way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a thing that feels a little bit awkward to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's different songs at the end, depending on the fight. So if you're fighting Angela Death, I think it was America the Beautiful. Played okay. a sad cover of that. I can't remember which one plays if you fight Saul.
I didn't get a fucking song. Yeah.
No song. No fight.
Yeah. I did get the Land of Confusion cover on the way back on the way back from the Speedway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that played for you.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it is a good cover. So for me, you know, Saul did his thing. They said he was going to do, I let Colorado take care of itself and I got ending science for everything. The Robot Collective, which I sided with, they give you a, like, this might be bad. Like these are always going to be like, this might be bad. They're like, oh, they're welcoming any humans and they're keeping the word, but they're not running the oil well.
Oh, okay.
And that was a thing that was frustrating to me because I was like, just fucking send somebody to do the oil.
Yeah.
Like it's right over there. It's not far. You know, like, but the robots were not a threat. They were taking in humans as sanctuary, but they were not keeping Colorado running. That was a problem right. Saul was dealing with.
Okay.
My monster army died.
Oh no.
Which I mentioned before that happened.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't really remember the rest of them. It's not very consequential.
No,
I was not that invested in the individual slides of this. Like I am in a Fallout.
Right.
Like I love ending slides as an ending construction, but
yeah, especially like, for your party members, it's like, oh, Jody went back to Arizona where her family was. Lucia stayed stayed on with the Rangers.
Okay. Who would have thought, you know, like, of course they did.
Yeah.
You know, there's kind of a weird, like, low stakes-ishness to the moral and emotional choices it's trying to make you make at the end.
Yeah.
To this, it feels like.
Yeah. Because I really think the Robot Collective overreacted to me keeping Reagan away from them.
Yes.
They decided to never, ever trust humanity again. And they hold up. The Gippers fucking hate me for holding their god hostage. Both sides are stockpiling weapons and Denver is going to be a problem.
Yeah. It's going to be a nuclear war, a cold war again.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened, I forgot this. I kept Liberty alive. I didn't kill Liberty. I spared mm-hmm. her at the end. She lives in Saul's house and doesn't talk. Like she just has guards with her all the time.
Okay.
And she's chained, but she just doesn't speak and has never spoken to her father again.
Oh.
Is what she ended up doing for me.
Okay. Liberty, you know, because we imprisoned her, you know, we have to keep reassigning guards because she keeps on ingratiating herself to them. Like she's trying to start a revolution with the guards.
Yeah. Because like some of her point, like, again, all points are kind of valid.
Yeah.
In this, like it's whatever the opposite of like centrism is when it's in the middle. There's like a different kind of centrism where all things are equally valid.
Yeah.
It goes out in all directions. Mm-hmm. This is kind of doing, there's a little bit of cowardliness to the moral outlook of this game, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not intense. Like I still like this game a lot. It's a very good game.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be polemical, but it does lead to incoherence. Right.
Yeah. And just kind of an unsatisfying feeling. Like there's, for me, getting to the end of this, either time I did it, there was not a huge feeling of catharsis.
Yeah.
Of like contrast with Fallout New Vegas, where like that is very similarly about the future of an area and mm-hmm. the politics of an area that's important to the future of humanity. I cared a lot about that.
Yeah.
You know, like I was very invested in what happened to the, you know, the Mojave
Dam. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, and it was more sensical, like what was happening. It didn't feel as arbitrary, like, oh, you didn't give robots a Reagan, so now they're going to turn into nuke bots.
Yeah.
It didn't feel arbitrary. It felt like, oh, of course they need water. It's the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
You know, it felt better.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of these things where in exile games are good, written well, have fun mechanics, but are kind of pale imitations of the best of Obsidian, I think, in terms of writing specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Agreed.
Yeah. Good game.
Yeah.
Worth your time.
Ton of fun to play. You know, like I definitely got fatigued by the time I got to the Speedway. Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's long. You know, when I discovered that it was not one combat dungeon, but fucking three of them. It was like, oh no. But interesting tactical mix em ups throughout, incredibly engaging, like party development and just moment to moment dealing with and taking apart encounters, right?
Yeah. Mechanically, this is at its best as an XCOM.
Yes.
I think like the actual narrative and kind of thematic hooks it has on it are necessary to drive that, but they aren't particularly great shakes on their own.
Yeah. Can't support the whole thing.
That would be my opinion. Other people, I'm sure, had different opinions, and hopefully we'll hear them next episode.
Hopefully it is too late to write in. But you can write in about January's games, which are going to be our rerun of the Legend of Zelda episode we did on Bonfireside Chat. People wonder why we haven't done that. We did a couple years ago. The second episode in January is going to be a Will and Gary joint talking about The Binding of Isaac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't want the 1,000 episodes of us not doing that, we're going to present one of us doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Then a Gary pick, we're talking about Thief 2, The Metal Age. Gary, we need to talk about what mods. I downloaded some stuff to modernize it, and I can send you links to it. So
yeah, I got no problem with mods. I have not started it yet. So
yeah.
And our premium episode is going to be RoboCop.
Yes, RoboCop Rogue City.
Rogue City. Rogo wants an Ori Rogue. Yeah, that's going to be really fun. If you're listening to this, if you have a project or product you'd like us to shout out and you're any kind of disenfranchised person, send me an email, gary@duckfeed.tv. Be happy to do so. Mm-hmm. If you want to write in on those things, duckfeed.tv/contact, as you mentioned, for January's games. Mm-hmm. Thanks for tuning into DuckStream, which I assume you did.
Yeah.
Thank you. I assume we didn't die during it. Make that joke every year.
We always say that, and one year it's going to be wrong.
Yeah. But hopefully not this year.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Assume it was a success. Thank you for making it so.
Yeah. And this, if you want to join us on Patreon, if you want to support us, if you like what we do, this is why we're able to do it. It's because of Patreon. You go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. $5 a month gets you, not only keeps our lights on, gets you bonus episodes and bonus shows. This month, it is going to be our live show from Portland Retro Gaming Expo, talking about the best and worst 7 out of 10 games of all time. With the Retronauts. It's kind of a split EP. It's fun. Yeah. Like there's equal amount of Retronauts and us on there. That's also how you get Rogo Wants an Ori Rogue next month. And then all of our back premium episodes.
Yes. We think it is an incredible value. It is also how we can afford to have Gwen, who we thank.
Yeah. Big thanks
producer
to Gwen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until next time, what should they watch out for?
Until next time, watch out for expanding your territory.
Yeah. It's the worst of the four X's of the X's. This is legitimately true. It's the one that stops me from playing those games. Like, I don't want to go to another Vespine mine.
No.
I'm fine. I just want to build up this cool little base.
Yeah.